This episode is sponsored by Vulture. Vulture approaches partnerships differently. Vulture believes developers and businesses should embrace the freedom of the independent cloud and that MSPs should be empowered to do what they do best, serve their customers. With elastically scalable multi-cloud offerings across 23 global locations, Vulture provides MSPs with better margins and less complexity. Take advantage of the industry's highest cloud discounts when you partner with Vulture. That's V-U-L-T-R. See what all the hype is about at VULTR.com.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Not all cyber attacks involve malware. That's our topic. That's our discussion for today. Before we get there, before we dive in to that very important question, and it's a really interesting topic, and we're gonna analyze it pretty extensively today. I would like to say, make a quick comment about this podcast. And there was an article, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago, maybe at this point, and we were, it was on social media, I think it was on LinkedIn, and it was a top 10 MSP podcasts article that someone had wrote for some technology online magazine. And MSP Zone was mentioned in one of those top 10 podcasts. And that was a great honor, I thought. I know some of the other people who were named in that list, and a lot of them are colleagues, some vendors, some industry professionals that have been around the industry for a long time. And so it was a very nice group, a nice community to be included in. And it was a... So I read the little snippet about the MSP Zone, and the author, you know, just gave a little bit of a background. It was very short, but the end, he said, the host, Charles Weaver, occasionally expresses outrage, which may be off-putting to some people. So I thought maybe I should start putting an outrage alert in front of all of the podcasts if I think I'm getting or expressing outrage, not making outrageous claims. That wasn't the statement. You know, I don't think I ever make outrageous claims. I try not to, but I express outrage. I don't know if they meant I get enthusiastic about certain topics, which is undeniably true. As charged, that's I do get that. But we try to always be helpful, and we always try to be offer constructive critiques of things. I mean, there are things that I think are wrong, and I will express an opinion on that if I think something is wrong or I think something is not suitable for whatever it's being touted as. And I try not to upset people, but that's not always possible. But expressing outrage, I don't know. That's a first time I've ever heard that. I suppose the opposite, it's better than the opposite, which would be apathy and boredom, which would not be good. But anyway, if I've been outraged in the past, I will attempt in my best way to notify you of that in the beginning of the show. I don't think that's going to be this case today. It'll be a relatively calm, low outrage meter podcast. So anyway, very, very privileged, very honored to be listed in the top 10 MSP podcasts of 2022. That means you guys are, you know, liking what we're putting out. You're listening, you're talking about it. So that's very much feel honored and good feedback. So not all cyber attacks involve malware. I saw this, it wasn't a press release, it was an article, it was a news alert, came in, and it's an article in InfoSecurity magazine on a CrowdStrike report that they conducted, a study that CrowdStrike performed. And for those of you who don't know, CrowdStrike is, among other things, they do a lot of forensic work. I wouldn't call them an MSP. They might do some managed services here and there, but I think their real specialty is in doing forensic consulting, security, cyber consulting. They're really more of a consultant is how I would kind of flavor them or describe them. But they're fairly well known. They do a lot of good work. And let's just dive right in. And I posted a copy of the article that references the CrowdStrike study, so you can read it at your own leisure. And I encourage you to read it. Come to your own conclusions, but I will give you mine. So here are some of the takeaways. So this was a 2021 study of CrowdStrike engagements and security telemetry. That's what the article says. So the engagements are pretty easy to understand, right? That's, CrowdStrike's own, customers and people coming to them and saying, hey, can you investigate this breach or this alleged breach and tell us what happened? And so they compile this information. They do this all over the world. The size of the companies is a real big question for me because they're not an SMB player. So this may be weighted more towards larger organizations. Keep that in mind. But I still think there's some value in hearing what they have to say. So they did the study in 2021, last year, and they made it, I think a fairly obvious statement, claim that, cyber attacks, ransomware-related data leaks surged by 82% year-on-year in 2021. So compared to 2020, it was up 82% last year. But, the article goes on, but most cyber attacks involved no malware at all, according to a new report from CrowdStrike. Now, I don't know if this is just a slip of the tongue, if this was by design, but the first article here by this author is ransomware-related data leaks surged 82%. So I'm assuming he meant ransomware and he didn't mean cyber attacks in general, because he immediately pivots in the same sentence to not ransomware attacks, but the general cyber attacks. But let's just take it at face value. The CrowdStrike is saying, according to their 2022 Global Threat Report, 62% of cyber attacks did not involve, quote-unquote, non-malware, hands-on keyboard activity, to rephrase it better and avoid the double negative. The 62% of the cyber attacks that we saw last year included non-malware hands-on keyboard activity, meaning that it wasn't a malware-delivered email system. And it doesn't mean that email is the only delivery vehicle, but it's a common one. We'll talk about that shortly. But I thought that was very interesting. Last year, we know breaches, we know attacks, cyber attacks were up significantly, and yet well more than half of those attacks did not involve malware. That was news to me. That was a fairly interesting tidbit. And the article goes on, that means the threat actors use legitimate credentials to access networks and then, quote unquote, living off the land techniques to achieve lateral movement once inside. Essentially old school tradecraft. Breach, however, we'll talk about how they're getting in there if they're not using malware, they're getting in some other way. Once they get in, then they just quietly sit there, they exfiltrate data maybe, they learn, they soak in information, they gain access to other systems, they do their stuff, and that's their deal. And the article goes on and talks about why that's important, because the tactics of not using malware, which have high degrees of being caught or potentially caught by email filtering systems. So we're making a couple of logical inferences here, right? So one, cybersecurity attacks, not exclusively, but you know, do definitely rely on email, or I should say malware, ransomware delivered malware. And the delivery system that has long been used is email. Again, not exclusively, but it's one of several key entry points or delivery systems, as I call them. And that tactic is well known to us. It's well known to the security vendors. And so that's why we spend so much time creating and deploying and training user behavior on, this is what a bad link looks like in an email. This is what a good link looks like. This is what you should be looking out for. This is the potential for, you know, you clicking on a bad link and what it could do to the company, not the least of which is you as a user. And so from security training to the actual technology that goes around the email systems to protect users and organizations against malware that flows through those emails, that's still important. Before anyone says, well, Charles, what are you saying, that we shouldn't protect our email anymore? No, that's not what I'm saying. We still need to do it. It's a layered approach. We always have needed a layered approach. 10, 15, 20 years ago, we've needed a layered approach to security, and today we still need a layered approach. The difference is the layers are getting deeper. There are more layers. There's more complexity, and that's just a factor of the times we live in. But I'm quoting from the article. Such tactics, talking about the non-malware hands-on keyboard activity and living off the land techniques that are being used, at least according to CrowdStrike, 62% of the time last year, such tactics help them, the hackers, bypass detection by legacy tools, but not current network monitoring and other behavior-based security, referencing XDR, MDR, EDR, SIM as a service, SOC as a service style, analysis tools, right? Compared to, let's say, traditional binary rules-based, you know, firewall UTM style technologies, which are still good, but again, remember, layered. They serve a purpose, but they are kind of just gatekeepers. They're traffic cops for traffic going in and out of your network. They don't necessarily learn and observe this type of lateral behavior that is being apparently successfully employed. And going on further in the article, these tactics may partly explain the surge in highly targeted ransomware attacks against high-value organizations known as big game hunting. CrowdStrike said that the number of such attacks leading to data leaks rose from 1,474 in 2020 to 2,686 last year. This amounts to over 50 targeted ransomware events per week. So, no, for the record, no, we are not suggesting that you abandon your email protection. You need email protection. You will always need email protection. It's part of a well formulated cyber defense strategy. And I'm talking not only with for an MSP, I'm talking about your downstream customers as well. Why I'm bringing up the email, why I thought this was important to talk about on this episode is, one, to draw our attention collectively that it's not just email-borne malware-delivered ransomware. They could get in there, inject the system through this traditional method of entry, the same as they could if they just sent an email randomly. Why I'm saying this is because I've talked about it a couple of times, once very extensively with our friend Rob Scott. This was a handful of maybe last month or so. And it was about this trend is, I don't want to even give it that much credibility. I know that there are companies out there who are attempting to capitalize on the ransomware and the email delivery of ransomware threat to sell a philosophy of cyber defense that involves the following. One, embed an agent, a software agent on your network, the MSP network, and the customer's network. Aggregate the data from that monitoring agent and issue a score, a threat score embedded in the email so that people who receive the email from that domain will know whether that domain is secured or not. And Rob and I went through a pretty extensive industry, professional, technical, and legal analysis of why that may not be a good idea, why it isn't a good idea for the industry. Now that is, I'm going to be very clear here. What we're not saying is email protection technology is to be avoided. Not what I'm saying. Email protection, email security is incredibly important. So all those platforms are at the Barracudas, the backups, the email filterings like Barracuda, like Mimecast. I'm forgetting some, so I apologize. I mean to just mention those, but there's a lot of them out there. They do good work. Those are fantastic, and you should still keep using those. Again, that layered approach. But the tactics used by this new variant of so-called cybersecurity professionals, because they're out there saying that this is what something MSPs need to do. Number one, I'm not hearing it from MSPs. So if it's caught on, it hasn't caught on yet to MSPs I talk to. Number two, I don't think they're talking to MSPs. I think they're talking to break-fix companies. I really do. Because it sounds like a very remedial style of cyber defense. Like this is so low grade, like literally just putting an agent, a software agent on a domain just to look at the and rate its email threat is, in my opinion, so single-faceted. So by itself, it's like if you were in soccer or hockey, it would be like you standing on the extreme left or right side of the goalpost and only guarding that one side and leaving the rest of the net open, wide open. That's what I view this agent email domain scheme, whatever it is. That's what it sounds like to me. And the fact that they're pushing it and saying that this is what they want the insurance companies to adopt. Now, I haven't heard any insurance companies yet adopt this silliness. And I hope if you're an insurance company out there, you you take a serious pause if you've talked to any of these people, because this is not a comprehensive cybersecurity MSP security approach that is in any way up to the best practices that we hold ourselves to today. I'll tell you that right now. And if you take that idea of the domain-based software agent monitoring email threat rating system and compare it side to side by this article talking that 62% of all the attacks that happened last year didn't involve that style of entry. If I'm an insurance carrier, I'm thinking, why the hell am I going to invest so much time and energy into a system to rate email senders, you know, when it's going to only block less than half of all these attacks that are coming through? And again, CrowdStrike is only at the upper end of the middle and enterprise marketplace. They're not even talking about the SMB market. So I think that percentage may be a little bit higher. I wouldn't be surprised if that 62% was actually a little bit larger. Now, again, some of you were thinking, wow, Jesus, Charles, what's the point? What are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that beware of the single-faceted security players, the people that are saying, this is what you need. This is the answer to the insurance, the cyber insurance, the MSP, cybersecurity equation. This is it. Let me drop my software agent onto your domain. Let me scoop up all of that data. Let me score it, and then you will be safe. I think it creates a false sense of security. I think it avoids and diminishes the obvious known threats that are out there. It places an incredible amount of power in these are new companies. Like, these are companies I've never heard of, right? If this was a major legacy software, hardware, security vendor doing this, I might have a different opinion. But these are, I mean, like, when I say I've never heard of them, I don't know everybody, but I know a lot of people in the MSP sector on the planet, like MSPs and vendors. And these are new companies, new people that are not known to me coming out of the blue, and they have a shocking similarity of their approach. And that approach is one of a very aggressive, pushy salesperson. And they're coming from different companies, different parts of the world. And so the fact that they have that same tactic is always very curious to me. Where did they learn that? Why are those types of sales personalities and people ending up in two different companies pushing the same identical idea? Too coincidental for my tastes and my likes. So again, we do need email security filtering and training. We always will. But we also need the other layers to that, which are the XDR, EDR, MDR, the SOC as a service, the SIM tools. We need all of those things to protect completely, as completely as we can, and keep up with the evolving threats and the surface attack vectors that the bad guys are using are always changing. And I thought it was just a really interesting article that would keep keep us aware that, look, we can't just get too complacent and say, well, we're protecting email, so we're good, right? We've got 90% of our attack vector solved. Wrong. Not. Because as soon as you start to feel safe, they're going to go to another place. So take a look at the article. Take a look at the underlying CrowdStrike report. I'm assuming it's freely available, you know, for download. And there's actually a link to it in the Info Security magazine article. You can read it, come to your own conclusions. But those are the conclusions I came to. And, you know, again, I'm trying not to be outrageous here about these kind of new cybersecurity salespeople that are out there slinging this stuff. But you know, it's just a really curious thing that these new companies are emerging onto the field, trying to gain a foothold. I don't think they're getting any success. And yet we start to see some real data about how the bad guys are getting into the networks that we're trying to protect. And it's worth a read. It's worth keeping up on these things because, hey, we got to stay on top of our game to do what we do, which is protect the good guys. So anyway, those are my thoughts. Hope I wasn't too outrageous for you guys today. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.